Also a debtor. I have completed the steps according to the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous with the help of a loving God and a sponsor. I have made all my amends, and I'm living in steps 10, 11, and 12 to the best of my ability. And, you know, one thing I learned about 12 step is that this book has everything in it that we need. It tells me, it teaches me right from the beginning about myself, my problems with alcohol or other addictions. And it teaches me how to bring this message across to other still suffering addicts. And so therefore, nothing in here is not something that I have to create myself. Everything has been guided. Everything, step by step by step, has brought me to this point here, up to the point where I am willing to carry this message to other still suffering alcoholics. So this step is divided into three parts. First, it talks about, you know, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps. So the book teaches me all about how to go through the spiritual awakening, how to make this happen for me. And how I had this happen to me was that I went through all my steps. And by the time I got to step 12, the way I felt, the way I behaved, the way I thought, all of that dramatically changed. And the Big Book teaches me that that's what I need in order to have a spiritual awakening, is to have a change in heart and change in my attitude and my change in the way I think, feel, and behave. The second part of this thing says to carry this message. And it teaches me exactly what I need to do to carry this message. And that's what this chapter is all about, you know, to teach me how to carry this message to other people. Because it tells me that even though I may be alone and I may be afraid, that's okay. Everything I need is written in these pages, either before this working with others or after working with others. Because even though we just read up to working with others, there's that the thing about the wives, the family afterwards, the employers. All those chapters help you to work with other alcoholics. And then it says to practice these principles in all our affairs. And then all my affairs is everything in my life, you know, practicing these principles. And because I've had a spiritual awakening, the way I feel, the way I act, the way I behave, the way I think is all changed. And so that I could bring this to other alcoholics. The main thing is, you know, and this last paragraph that we read, it says, you know, the main thing is we bring this message to them. But if they don't want it, we cannot force it upon them. We're going to let God do His work. If I'm going to be the instrument, I need to know my stuff. I need to know that I've completed these steps and that I'm responsible for this person. And a long time ago, we had at that Toronto World Convention, they passed out these little things that says, I am responsible. And it says, I am responsible. When anyone, anywhere, reaches out for help, I want the hand of AA always to be there. And for that, I am responsible. And that's what carrying this program of action to other people means to me. It means a big responsibility. And it tells me that I'm only here to be truly helpful. You know, that's our main goal. You know, if you want what I have, I'm going to help you get it. You know, it's up to me to know my program and to know how I'm going to help you with yours. But it starts out, you know, the The chapter of working with others starts out by saying practical experience shows that nothing will so much ensure immunity from drinking as intensive work with other alcoholics. And practical experience is experience that I've tried, my own experience, I've tried, and the work in this book has proven to be true. I came in an alcoholic, and I came in sick. But now I am a recovered alcoholic. I'm not going to not be an alcoholic, because once an alcoholic, it says always an alcoholic. But now I'm recovered because I don't have to drink anymore. And it says, it works when other activities fail. Intensive work with other people works when other activities fail, because I know my work. I found out that I'm an alcoholic. I admitted that in step one, and so therefore I could relate to another alcoholic, and another alcoholic could relate to me. It says, this is our 12th suggestion. Carry this message to other alcoholics. You can help when no one else can. You can secure their confidence when others fail. Remember, they are very ill. And constantly, this book has to talk about, remember, they're ill. Remember, I'm ill. Remember, remember. All the way through this book, we remind the wives, your husband's ill. We remind the employers, your husband, your workers are ill. We remind everybody that we're ill, because way back when, and this book is full of good stuff, it says, an illness on page 18 of There Is a Solution, it says, an illness of this sort, and we have come to believe it an illness, involves those about us in a way no other human sickness can. If a person has cancer, we are all sorry for him, and no one is angry or hurt. But not so for the alcoholic illness. With it, there goes annihilation. That's a really tough word. Of all things worthwhile in life. It engulfs all those whose lives touch the sufferer. It brings misunderstanding, fierce resentments, financial insecurity, disgusted friends and employers, warped lives of blameless children, and sad wives and parents. So it's an illness, but we can't see it. It's all there. It's all there with all these negative things that we bring to ourselves. And every time it says it in this book, I go back to that part where I have to remember that I'm sick, and this is the kind of sickness that I have. You know, I bring financial insecurity, I bring warped lives, I bring all kinds of negative things to my relationships, and that's the kind of sickness that I have when I am in alcoholism. So it's a good reminder to continually remember that I am sick, and that the person that I'm going to make the 12-step call with is sick. So, and then, you know, like anything else, you know, this writer, the writers of this book, you know, they give you a little negative, but then they give you a little bit positive too. Why do I want to do this if this is so tough? It says, life will take on new meaning. To watch people recover, to see them help others. And that's what we're going through here now. You know, a lot of us that are recovered, we could see this, you know, we could see the life bringing in new meaning to people, especially if you sponsored anyone in this room. And you could see that transformation that has come about because they've worked this step, because they've done their fourth step, they crossed over. They're continually working and carrying the message. To see them help others, to watch loneliness vanish, to see a fellowship grow up about you, to have a host of friends. This is an experience you must not miss. We know you will not want to miss it. Frequent contact with newcomers and with each other is the bright spot of our lives. And that is just a truth. You know, you feel that. That is a transformation. It wasn't like that in the beginning for me, because when I first stepped into these rooms, I didn't like anybody, and nobody liked me, probably. But now the opposite is true. I like everybody. I love the people that are in these rooms of recovery. And so, you know, it tells us exactly how to handle these meetings with newcomers, with new people. If they don't want the program, we don't need to force it upon him. But it says that we need to cooperate and never, never criticize the person or even brand them, you know, and call them an alcoholic. Because I remember, you know, somebody telling me I was an alcoholic, and I didn't like that one bit. So we have to remember that to be helpful is our only aim, and to remember that that is our primary purpose, because over and over again it tells us we need to be helpful, we need to carry this message, and we need to do it in a way that's positive, because we want to bring people to this program and not be a religious reformer or talk down to them because we've got a little bit of spiritual insight. You know, it says we have to be patient and we have to realize that we're dealing again with a sick person. So always remember that. It says you should be described to him as one of a fellowship who, as part of their own recovery, tried to help others and who will be glad to talk to him if he cares to see you. That's if he wants to see you. You let them know you're part of a fellowship. You're not a loner. You're not just one man bringing in one program. This is a whole fellowship, a whole community of people who have had the practical experience, who have tried and proven that these steps are useful, they're helpful, and they will lead to recovery at the end. And over again, it tells us, if he don't want to see you, don't make it. Don't try it. Just leave them to be, you know. And it tells us exactly how we need to greet them. You know, at first we engage in light conversation, but we have questions that we need to sort of ask them, you know, so that we could get a feel of them, you know. What is their religious leaning? Are they atheists? Are they agnostic? Are they too religious? Are they more religious than I am? Lots of questions we need to try to find out, not just from them, but from the people who know them. And sometimes we don't know the people who know them. So we try to find this out as we're generally talking with the newcomer or the new person. We engage in general conversation. And then after a while, we talk about some phase of our drinking. We tell them enough about our drinking habits, symptoms, and experiences to encourage him to speak of himself. And here again, we don't force him to speak of himself. We let it go as smoothly as possible because we're there to try to bring a message, to bring recovery to them. And if we start forcing things upon them, they're going to be resistant. So that's not what we want. So be careful not to moralize or to lecture. And if that person is feeling okay and you want to tell them little funny stories about your life as an alcoholic or whatever, some little funny things, if you think that'll help, you say that. And if they're not, then you just bring serious things across, you know. So exactly everything I need is written in these pages so that I don't have to be afraid of meeting a new person and trying to help them out, you know. But we have to remind them that if they are really sincerely afflicted with alcoholism, that there is little chance that they could recover by themselves, you know. So talking about your personal experience and helping them go through this process and letting them know that even though our situation may be hopeless, there is still hope, there's still recovery, because we offer a solution, and the solution is definitely in the pages of this book. And so little by little, we have to bring in the concept of how we recovered, but we don't do this right away. But when the time is right and you're feeling good about the conversation between you and this person, then you bring up, you know, how you admitted you were an alcoholic, how you came to believe, how you turned your will and your life over to the care of God as you understood Him. But then you have to remind them, you know, that if they're not into God, you know, that they could pick a power of their own choice, of their own understanding. But what's important here is to remind them of the spiritual principles that we need to go through. And like Bill Wilson, he talked about in his story, he says, in order for faith to work, it has to be done in 24/7. You have to keep faith in your mind and in your heart all the time. Well, it says to be vital, faith must be accompanied by self-sacrifice and unselfish constructive action. So faith without works is dead unless we put the action in there. And it reminds us of that. And all through this book, it says it about 25 different times, 25 different ways, faith without works is dead. So that's very important that when we're outlining the program of action to the newcomer, that we need to let them know everything that's happened to us all throughout our 12 steps recovery, so that they may be able to decide for themselves. If they don't want to and they keep on saying this over and over and over again, there's nothing we could do, but all we could do is sit there and be kind. And our goal is if you're talking to this person, you know, is to be sane. And by now we have become sane and quiet and full of human understanding. Listen to this. This is what our goal is, and it's on page 94. It's about the middle of the page. If our talk has been sane, quiet, and full of human understanding, you have perhaps made a friend. And maybe that's all we want to do in the beginning, is just let them know we're there for them no matter what. You know, the main thing is that they be willing to believe in a power greater than themselves and to live by spiritual principles, which are the steps. And we tell them what the problem is, we tell them what the solution is, we outline the program of action, and we hand them this book to read. Here's the book, read it, call me if you have any questions. Now, that's the way it was done before. Now, sometimes we read along with our people, because a lot of people are too sick to read by themselves. And then there's the balking. You know, after that, people may still balk. You give them all your heart. You tell them all that you've done. You've given them all this stuff, and the people are still balking. They're saying your candidate may give reasons why he need not follow all the program. He may rebel at the thought of a drastic house cleaning, which requires discussion with other people. Tell him that you felt that way too. But all that gets resolved in the working of the program. In other words, we shouldn't push, prod, try to lead, try to make it too fast for them, because then they'll turn around and say, you forced it upon me, and that's not how this program goes. And we don't want to spend too much time on any one situation. We want to let them be leaders. Let them lead the way too. And so that's how we work with these people. But nothing is not written down. I mean, everything is written down. Nothing is per chance or by chance. Everything is firm, confirmed, practical, and good for the well-being of the newcomer. So that's how it is, and we keep on working towards carrying this message and working with others, and remember that we are responsible. We're responsible for carrying the message. Not for carrying the drunk, but for carrying this message. Well, thank you all very much. And
thank you.